Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you again today for another author interview. We're getting back into the swing with author interviews, and I am loving them as usual. Today, I am talking with sci-fi author J.D. Sanderson about his debut novel, A Footstep Echo. So let me give you the description of that, and then I'll talk a little bit more about it. Who is the mystery girl? Bernard Abbey's life was routine, stagnant, and lonely. That all changed the day she entered his life. To save him from being killed, a mysterious young woman transports Bernard to another point in time. As he comes to grips with what has happened, Bernard realizes his new friend is unable to speak. She cannot tell him who she is, where she is from, or how she can travel through time. Even worse, she's unable to tell him what is chasing her. As she takes him back and forth in time, they cross paths with strangers who claim to know his new friend, each with a different story of her origin. The only thing he knows for certain is that the fate of humanity's idyllic future is somehow connected with his new companion. So that is the description of A Footstep Echo by J.D. Sanderson. As I said, it is sci-fi. It's a time travel novel, which I always enjoy. I've talked before about how I've never been a huge reader of sci-fi. I've always loved watching sci-fi. My dad got me into Star Trek when Next Generation came out, and we also watched the original, and then I've been a Star Trek fan ever since. I've always loved Star Wars. My husband introduced me to Doctor Who, and we actually have gone back and we've gone back in time. No pun intended, sorry. We've gone back and started at the beginning with the very first Doctor from the 40s or 50s and watched all of the Doctors straight through, which is so cool. So I am familiar with the genre from a television and movie standpoint, but I've not always been a reader of sci-fi. And one of the things that I've enjoyed about doing these author interviews is that it has gotten me into the genre, into reading the genre of sci-fi a little bit more. And I have discovered that I enjoy it more than I did the last time I gave it a try, which was probably high schoolish, and I don't remember exactly what I was reading that turned me off so much, but I am enjoying it much more. And I always said, you know, I didn't really enjoy reading it because I got bogged down in the science, so maybe I'm either getting better at understanding the science-y stuff, or I just skim through it enough that I can get the gist and not get bogged down. I don't know. At any rate, I didn't feel bogged down by the science in this novel. I enjoyed the story and the characters. One of the things that I really liked about this novel is that Bernard, who is the main character, is an older man. He's retired. He's a widower. His life has taken some turns that have left him lonely and isolated. And you just don't often see older characters as your main character, whether that's sci-fi or whether that's any number of genres. So I really appreciated getting a slightly different POV, a point of view from the main character. At first I thought maybe it was going to be maybe from both Mystery Girl and Bernard's point of view. Just at the very beginning, I thought that might be a possibility, but I was pleasantly surprised when it turned out to be Bernard's adventure, because it's just not something that you see very often. Of course, there is Mystery Girl, and you find out more about her as the book goes on. The book takes place in three different distinct sections or acts, and we find out more about Mystery Girl and why she can time travel and what happened to her to cause her to basically lose her memory and lose her ability to speak. She can speak a little bit words here and there, but it's very, very difficult for her. So that's another thing that I found interesting about the story was, how do you write a character who has trouble speaking? And obviously people have done it and it can be done, but I found that to be an intriguing thought process for an author. How am I going to write this so that I can convey what she is doing in order to try to convey her thoughts? So a couple of different things that intrigued me right away, and then I always enjoy time travel stories, even when I get a little like, wait a minute, oh, wait, which time did we just jump in? Do we already know this? Do we already do this time? How do you keep track? That's one thing I always wonder. How do you keep track when you're writing time travel, whether it's novels, whether it's screenplays, etc.? So again, the novel is A Footstep Echo. It is by J.D. Sanderson, and I am going to turn now to that interview so that you can hear more of what he has to say about his debut novel. Hi, J.D. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
It's wonderful to have you here. We are here to talk about your new book, A Footstep Echo. But before we do that, I would love for my listeners to get to know you a little bit. So if you could just share a little bit about yourself, whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, sure. Well, right now I live in central South Dakota with my wife, daughter, and my little bouncy miniature poodle named Banjo. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to write every day, but I'm very happy that I've been finally able to complete my first novel. It's something that I've wanted to do ever since I was 15, and you know, I'm 35 now, so it took me a little while to get there, but I'm happy that I just got across the finish line finally.
Yeah, and you work full time outside of writing as well, so finding time every day to write is really impressive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might also explain why this took me 13 months to write.
Sure. So tell us about A Footstep Echo.
Well, you know, it's a time travel book, first and foremost. I mean, I've always loved science fiction. I've been a fan of science fiction ever since I could remember. So I wanted to tell a fun time travel story, but I also wanted to deal with a more serious side of it. You know, I didn't want to do anything that I'd ever seen done before. And yet, there's a million travel books out there, and there's a million time travel movies and TV shows. Star Trek does it ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to make my book more of a character feature. You know, I've been really inspired by you know, a lot of cinema lately, like Arrival and Ex Machina, was really focused more on characters than spaceships. And while I love that kind of stuff, I love going to the movies and seeing, you know, spaceships blow each other up. But I guess that's not the kind of story I was interested in telling. You know, the main story focuses on this old man named Bernard Abbey. He lives in a city alone by himself. He's a widower. He's out of his main line of work. His newspaper that he worked at for years has been shut down by the internet and automation. You know, he's very lonely. He has nothing to do. And then one day he encounters this woman who can't talk. And, well, I mean, she can talk, but very, very little, only one word at a time at great length.
Mm-hmm.
She's got some kind of an injury that he can't, you know, figure out. And then to save his life, she knocks him out of his time. And that's where he's just like, what is going on? And then, you know, she can't tell him who she is. She can do this or what it is that's following her constantly. And now it's following him, it looks like. So he's this craggy old man. He's like, oh, great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing about Bernard was that, you know, when you first start the book, you think it's mainly going to focus on the woman, maybe, that is flashing Bernard in and out of his time to try to save his life. But it really is, it's about her to a certain extent, but the main character really is Bernard, who is an older man, like you said, which is not something that you see very often. You maybe see older men kind of crotchety older men as secondary characters, but never as the main character. So what do you think about Bernard will resonate with your readers?
Well, I mean, the book, In and of itself, I mean, it's a character study, and it's about dealing with change and progress at its core. I mean, that's, I think, the thing that I try to weave in with all the characters. They're all dealing with some kind of change. And him, he's dealing with, you know, he's old. He barely knows how to use his cell phone. He doesn't want to change. He's kind of just stuck in this rut of misery that he doesn't want to get out of. So I thought that that was something that a lot of people can relate to, because a lot of people don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it either, you know, sometimes. And I also wanted to tell a story where the character would be a little resistant to certain things. And I think, but also one of the main reasons I decided to tell a story about an old man is because I wanted to get as far away as I could from what's you see in popular culture. And I actually am a big fan of, like, the young adult series, but I wanted to tell something without a teenager or a young 20-something as the main character. I mean, the mystery girl is in her late 20s, and she's about as young as it gets for the book. But I wanted something that was the opposite of what I've seen. That's kind of the mantra I've had for this book. What have I not seen before?
And I'm going to jump in here so we can take our first break of the podcast, but that gives you a little bit of insight into Bernard, the main character, and the story itself. When we come back, we'll be talking more about Bernard, more about the story, and more about JD's writing process in general. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I am speaking today with J.D. Sanderson about his debut novel, A Footstep Echo. And one of the things that I found interesting about Bernard was that, you know, he doesn't react well to change. He is kind of stuck in this rut. But when he bumps into Mystery Girl and she flashes him to a different time, he embraces it a lot more quickly than you would expect, because he does love science fiction and he's read a lot. So he embraces the change more quickly than you would expect from as grumpy as he seems at first.
Yeah. I mean, she wears him down. It's one of those things. I mean, maybe I hope it's one of the only cliche things, but he's had no one to care for him or to care for in a long time. So when someone gets inside that crusty old exterior, you know, that he's like, okay, you're not so bad. And of course, by as the story gets going, he really starts to care for this person. You know, he has no children of his own. His wife is deceased, but they never had kids of their own. And so he's like, oh, this is what it might be like to have a daughter or a granddaughter.
Right. Did you have a specific inspiration for the story as a whole? Did you start with Bernard? Did you start with time travel? Where did you start with this book?
This is actually a book that I had tried to write a year before I did, and I gave up. And that's kind of like a sad motif of my writing career, at least as far as fiction books. I had probably had like 10 or 12, you know, abandoned efforts since I was like, you know, 15. And then I just was one day, I was like, and I realized that the reason I was giving up on them was because I was getting frustrated that they all sounded like something I loved. You know, something was a little too Star Trek-y. This was a little too Doctor Who. This was a little too Star Wars-y. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to emulate all the things I love. And so I just wanted to just tell a story that was complete, as original as I could make it. And one day in late 2016, my wife and I sat down to Netflix to watch this show called The OA.
Mm-hmm.
Which is this original, it just stars Jason Isaacs and Britt Marling. It's this original serialized science fiction story, but it's mostly about the characters. And I was blown away. I'm like, oh my God, this is the kind of stuff I love. This is popular now. So I sat down and said, okay, I'm just going to wing it here, because I don't like scripting my stories out in advance. I have like two things that I could touch that I want to make sure I insert. And everything else, I just kind of just go with it and hopefully just see where I end up. So after I saw that show, I was like, okay, maybe I could do this in book form. And the other thing that really inspired me is I am a fan of vintage radio plays. I have like a collection of hundreds of them from the 50s and 60s of drama shows like X-1 and Dimension X. These were all written by the greats like Clifford D. Simak and Robert Heinlein. And, you know, they force you to use your imagination because it's just an audio story. So that's why I wanted to, I guess that kind of helped me evolve my style as a writer. Like, okay, I don't want to over-describe anything. I want to be able to let the reader know that it's okay for them to use their imagination and form something. I only describe, I think, like three of the characters in the book in real detail because, you know, you could, this person, okay, you know where they're from, they know their rough age, but, you know, it's up to you to figure out what they want to look like. I think that, I mean, I don't mind when I read a book, you know, that's completely filled with detail, but I personally don't think I could sell it that well. So I wanted to be able to let people come meet me halfway. I don't think I could, I don't think you could threaten me and I couldn't be able to describe a door in four pages. I mean, some people can do that and they're brilliant at it, like Stephen King, but I just can't do it.
Right, right. And some people can do it and they're less successful at it, you know, so you're slogging through four pages of door description. This is science fiction and involves time travel and future. Bernard does end up in the future. So what kind of, if any, research did you do for some of the more technical aspects of the book?
Oh, I spent hours and hours listening to like podcasts and reading any scientific paper I could find online because I'm not a scientist. I mean, I've taken, you know, a class here and there on physics and astronomy in college years ago. But, you know, I wanted to actually make it sound like I knew something of what I was talking about. So I was finding papers on, like, modern gravitational theory, and I was gravitational waves, plausible time travel. I have a couple books by Dr. Michio Kaku, who's always on TV. He's, like, the big Carl Sagan-type figure nowadays. So I read everything I could from him, and I listened to a lot of podcasts and stuff on YouTube and lectures that people give, anything free that I could find because I was working on a budget.
Right, right.
But yeah, stuff like that. I spent a lot of hours doing that because I wanted to be able to sell something, even if I'm not a real scientist. Some of my favorite authors are scientists, but I just, you know, I don't have time to go back to school and then finish a novel.
Sure, sure. And then is there anything autobiographical in the book?
You know, I mean, probably not. I mean, I think every one of the characters has a little bit of me in there, different aspects of my personality. The only thing that's really comes close to my real life is the character of Maverick, who's the dog, who was based on my real dog. And Maverick passed away when I was halfway done with the book.
Aww.
So I was like, okay, I need a little bit of a catharsis here to help me through this. I'm going to go back and so I went back and inserted Maverick into the book. And that was my way of grieving for him. And he was a really funny dog, so I tried to convey his personality. He was kind of he was one of those goofy Springer Spaniels who just looked at you and go, all the time. So.
Yeah. Yes, I liked Maverick, and I was happy when Maverick showed up in the book. Talk about your writing process. You said earlier that you don't necessarily have a scripted story in your head. So do you just dive in? Do you at least have a brief outline? Do you just kind of let it flow? How does that work?
I knew there was three or four things that I wanted to do in this book, and that's it. I knew I wanted the character to be an old man. I wanted, I mean, not quite be like an unlikable character. I know that's very popular nowadays with things like The Walking Dead and Mad Men to have your protagonist be kind of a jerk, but I didn't want to quite go that far. I wanted to have him just be kind of a craggy old man. I wanted to avoid writing it for a younger audience. I mean, there's not, you know, there's no real heavy adult situations in the book. There's some violence, there's some language, but I just, you know, I love kids' books, and now that I have a daughter, I'm going to be reading her lots of them, but I, you know, that's just not the type of story I think I can tell. So I wanted to tell an adult story for adults. I wanted to have a major character, or at least a semi-major character death, because I like when the stakes are actually high.
Right.
You know, you see things all the time where people, there's like a fake killing. Oh, this person's actually really alive. They come back the next episode.
Right.
Or the next book. I hope I didn't just spoil anything for anyone, but yeah, I won't say the name.
Right, no.
And I like the idea of another main character that couldn't talk. I'm like, how am I going to write that?
Yeah.
It was just kind of a challenge to me.
Yeah, and actually, that's a really good point. How was that writing Mystery Girl in the beginning when she really struggled? She could, like you said, she can get a word out here or there, but it's a struggle. And I don't think it gives anything away to say that she's had a brain injury in the beginning of the book, which affects her
Yeah.
speech. So how was that writing?
I did some work on conditions like amnesia and aphasia. I don't really go into what exactly it is. Sometimes amnesia and aphasia can be given on by physical injury, they can mental stress, and I don't really specify because I'm not a doctor. I mean, I had a parent who worked in a neurology ward, although they weren't a doctor either, but so I have a passing understanding of some of these things. So I really just spent a lot of hours in the mirror kind of gesturing, looking like, okay, if I was trying to explain something, how would I do this?
I love that because now I'm just picturing you and having someone like walk in while you're standing in front of the mirror.
No, I would just be praying that my wife would not walk in because I'd never live it down.
That's awesome. So there is a future element to this book. What kind of world building did you do? Did you have an idea of how you wanted that to look, or did it develop as you wrote?
Yeah, this is something I kind of had in my head that I wanted to touch. I had many things that I wanted to touch on, and there's even a few that I didn't, that I never got to because I didn't want to make it seem like I was preaching, you know what I mean, to the audience. Like, I mentioned that certain animals are protected species. I'm an animal lover. I mentioned that there is, an atmospheric scrubbing system. But I didn't want it to make it look like I was. I mean, we live in such a politically and socially charged world. You can't say anything about what you'd like without some side going either that's not enough or it's too much. But what I tried to do is I tried to just read a little bit and say, what's the most plausible thing that could happen? Where would technology go in a couple hundred years that, would probably be the most likely thing? And that's what I looked up. And then I tried to put a little bit of myself into that too. I mean, I like the, I know I, I'm a huge, like I, if I see a whale documentary on Netflix, I automatically have to sit down and watch it. So that's why I have stuff like that mentioned, peppered in there. But I mean, I tried to keep it as realistic as possible. I mean, there's hints in the book of solar system colonization and spaceships and stuff, but mostly the entire book takes place on Earth. So I did, that's where I tried to keep my focus. I wanted to pepper in little things to let you know that there was more going on in the world. Like they think they might have gotten a signal from outside the solar system. There's huge shipyards that are building fleets of ships to colonize the rest of it. But I didn't, because it's a character piece, I didn't want to spend too much time there. I just wanted to drop in enough to let you know that this big world outside these characters does exist.
Jumping in once more so we can take our second and final break of the podcast. Stay tuned, you're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and the conclusion to my interview with J.D. Sanderson about his debut novel, A Footstep Echo. And since it is a time travel story, and one thing that I always when I watch Star Trek or when I watch Doctor Who, sometimes my brain gets a little like, oh, wait, how, what? So when you're writing a time travel story, how do you keep things straight in your head?
Oh, there were a couple times, well, more than a couple times, I had to go back and say, okay, where were they? Where did they last go? Because I didn't want to send them someplace they'd been too much. I mean, there's one scene later on in the book where you have all the characters leaving at different points in the day to try and meet up in one spot. And I'm like, that is really hard to write.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to limit the time travel as much because the first few drafts, you know, before I whittled it down, had a lot more flashing back and forth. And I realized that I was starting to take away from the character building. So I cut it off and I'm like, it didn't hurt the story at all. In fact, it made it a little stronger, I think. I just tried to whittle it away as much as I could. I kept it mostly between two time periods, you know, modern time and then 200 years in the future. So if as long as I held there and you know, there's a few jumps, like I think they go 10 years into the past or 15 years into the past. I didn't want to overdo it because then I probably would have gotten lost and I would have just, there probably somebody would have been reading it one day going, hey, this doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I just didn't want to have that happen.
Right. Will we be encountering these characters again, do you think?
Yeah. I'd like to think so. I'd love to revisit this universe again. I have a couple ideas. I don't know which characters I'd revisit. I know that I think Bernard's story is pretty much finished. He might make a cameo or not, but one of my beta readers said, "Wow, you really were hard on this poor old man."
Yeah.
So, I think if I put him through anything more, I'm probably going to be facing pitchforks and torches for anyone who reads it. So.
Well. But he at least
by the end of it he's quite a likable guy.
Yeah, but at least he had some more modern hospital care. So at least he wasn't.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think a future book would mostly focus on the mystery girl whose name you do learn in the book, but I don't want to give it away here. And then there's two other characters named Caleb and Tal, who I think would be elevated to more leading roles because they were the two that really, like I said, I had basic ideas for characters, but I didn't know what I was going to do until I did. And they actually really surprised me as I was writing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that. So what's next? Are you working on something right now?
No, I'm just toying around with some ideas. I think if I were to revisit it, I've got a couple different possible titles in my head, and I think I'd like to keep it the way A Footstep Echo is, which, you know, the book is divided into three parts, three little mini stories, and I think next time I would do a five-act structure instead of a three-act structure. You know, instead of the beginning, climax, and then the descending action, I would have, you know, exposition, rising action, climax, falling action, then probably end it with some kind of horrible catastrophe just because I can't be nice to these people for too long.
Oh, poor people.
Okay. And even though I'd focus it on Mr. Girl, I think my plan next time is to take it off Earth because I have hinted that there's more going on.
Yes. A Footstep Echo. Did you come up with the title before you started writing or as you wrote?
I came up with, it was actually just titled just Echoes, I think, at first, or something similar to that. And then I think there's a scene beginning on where I describe how he puts his foot down and it's echoing in the air. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's kind of trippy. I'll do that. I'd like to say that I had more deep thought into it, but it was really just kind of like, yep, let's just do that. Because I don't know. I'm too busy writing the story to think about a grandiose title. And any title in your head over, I've noticed, you know, the more you think about it, it just starts to sound lame. So I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to go with that and stick with it.
Right. Okay. When you take the time to read, do you have favorite authors and genres?
Oh, yeah. I'm a diehard sci-fi fan.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite authors, though, one of them is a British science fiction author. He was also a physicist and mathematician named Charles Sheffield. And I love, my favorite book of all time, though, is Watership Down by Richard Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And I love everything that man wrote. And even though he wasn't a sci-fi guy, he was more of a fantasy storyteller. talked about, you know, gave animals characters. He told such great character stories that, you know, it didn't matter to me, you know, Mr. Sci-Fi, it didn't matter to me that these were animals talking in some field in England, because I just was so engrossed in the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this is the kind of story I want to tell. So I'll go back and read Watership Down, you know, 5 times, you know, and never get bored of it. And there's some other, you know, sci-fi authors like Ted Chiang or David Weber, I'm a huge fan of, Keith Lahmer.
Okay, thank you for that. So where can people find you online? Do you have a website? Do you have social media?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. My Twitter account is @asci-fi-writer. I can't believe I got that one.
Yeah.
My Facebook is facebook.com/author JD Sanderson. And I have you can find my novel on Goodreads and Amazon as well.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. So is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like for people to know, whether it's about your writing, whether it's about books, anything that we haven't talked about?
You know, so much sci-fi. I mean, I'm pretty well versed in the genre, and my wife is a huge science fiction fan too. You know, I was like, "Have you seen this one?" when we first met. She's like, "No, have you seen this one?" I'm like, "No, cool, let's trade." We both just love the genre so much. But I noticed one thing, and this goes back to my desire to not want to do anything I haven't really seen before. I wanted to avoid the trope that all science fiction is dealing with people in hypothetical situations where they're facing adversity or some kind of horrible thing. And there is adversity in my book, but I wanted it to be more about how people deal with progress. I mean, the central bad guys in the book are really opposed to progress. They're really opposed to, you know, scientific advancement. They believe it's hurting everything. And, you know, that's kind of how Bernard is at the beginning of this. I mean, he likes science fiction like I do. I kind of had to put that in there because, you know, he's a little bit of me. But he doesn't want to advance in the rest of his life. He thinks it's over. There's no point. So I wanted it to be about how we deal with progress of all kinds. You know, I mean, you look in the world today and there's a lot of people who just don't want anything to change. And change is inevitable. You know, not all change is entropy, where it's breaking down. Some change is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a different way to approach things than I had usually seen. You know, a more hopeful angle. And the future that I tried to build a hopeful future. You know, we may not be fighting, you know, we may not be friends with Vulcans like in Star Trek, but at least, you know, there's, you know, war, disease, poverty are all wiped out in the future I have. And then there's this group that comes along that says, we don't like this, actually.
Right.
We want to go back a little bit because you're not, you know, we don't like the way you've done things up until this point. And that's just exactly how I think it would probably happen. You know, people can cure cancer and someone's going to complain.
Right. Yep.
So that's just how I wanted to do it.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your weekend to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it very much.
Again, thank you so much to my guest, J.D. Sanderson, for coming to the podcast to talk about his debut novel, A Footstep Echo. If you are a sci-fi fan, especially if you are a fan of time travel stories, then you definitely want to check this one out because it does have a lot of fun things to offer, a lot of, you know, different ideas to offer in the genre. Even if you aren't a sci-fi fan per se, I would encourage you to check this out because, as I said myself, I am lately reintroducing myself to the genre of sci-fi, at least in the literary from the literary perspective. TV and movies, good. But if you have veered away from science fiction for a variety of reasons, maybe give this a chance and see what you think. Maybe you'll rethink your point on science fiction, or maybe you just, it's not your cup of tea. That's everyone's preference. I'm just saying, if you haven't been reading sci-fi because of the science, like I was doing, give it a shot, see what you think. And if you want to give it a shot somewhat risk-free, we do have a giveaway again this week. So JD has been kind enough to provide us with 3 copies to give away. As usual, it's very easy to win a copy of this book. You just have to go to our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Those links are in the description of this podcast. Just go to those social media pages and comment on episode 101, Interview with JD Sanderson. That is it. If while you're there, you can give us a follow, you can give us likes on other things, go check out the social media pages, go comment on this episode, win a copy of A Footstep Echo by JD Sanderson. You know you want to. Come on, just hop on there and do it. It'll take you 30 seconds. So yes, we have 3 copies to give away, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Comment on episode 101. In the meantime, thank you again to JD Sanderson for joining me on today's podcast. Thank you for joining me as always. I appreciate all of my listeners, and I hope you'll join me again on Thursday when I have another return author for the podcast. Author RJ Rossetti is coming back to talk about the follow-up novels, not one, but 2 follow-up novels to his contribution to the Tawny Mountain Mysteries. And if you'll remember, he wrote about 2 characters, Katie and Malone, and they now have their own series. And it's the first 2 in the Katie and Malone series that we'll be talking about on Thursday. So join me for that. In the meantime, go out there and get yourself lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.